Church, thank you so much for hanging out with us today right here at Three Trees Church Online. We are so excited that we get to worship with you, and we believe that we are going to experience Jesus Christ through worship and a powerful word. We encourage you, as always, stay connected with us by sharing the content and stay submitted to Christ. We believe that you are in the right place at the right time.
Join me in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. Verse number 3, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 3. We'll read two verses here. I want you to notice it says, But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And so what Paul is helping us to understand is that if someone is lost, spiritually speaking, it is because the gospel has not yet been made manifest in their life. And the reason that that has not happened, according to verse 4, is that the God of this world tries to blind the minds of people who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, would shine unto them, and thus they would no longer be lost, they would be found. There is so much imagery associated with 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that even as I've attempted to teach and preach this morning, my mind and my heart and the preacher within me just explodes with imagery that I believe maybe all of us need to have some awareness of. And so I just want to share a few of those visualizations with you this morning of what I believe God wants to get through to his people when we contemplate the concept of lost and found. Lost and found. Share a message this morning entitled, Take Me Home. Father, I ask you to just help me to deliver your word this morning. I pray, Father, that you would provide an unction that honestly only heaven can make possible. And I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would visit each of us in a way that provokes us to take that next step in you, whatever that might be. And that, Lord, today we would have an encounter with you that would be so rich, so real, that we would be forever changed, forever transformed as a result of it. Let it be done in the name of Jesus. And this church said, amen. You know, Daniel Boone, who was one of the greatest explorers of all times, in fact, much of Kentucky is named after him as a result of his explorations and adventures. One time he was asked, Daniel Boone, have you ever been lost? To which he replied, no, but I have spent entire days being bewildered. Probably sounds like the man who drives your family vehicle, right? You know, when you think about the concept of being lost, Jesus himself made the statement. He said, I have come to the earth to seek and to save that which is lost. So we have a very clear understanding that there is the possibility to be spiritually lost. And if we can be lost, Jesus teaches us specifically in Luke chapter 15 that we also can be found. But maybe before we can appreciate what it is to be found, we have to have an even better understanding, even a better visualization of what it means to be lost. You know, I was thinking about how if you were to try to take a trip from New York to California, and you did not have a road map, you did not have GPS, and there were no road signs, you didn't even have a compass, then there is absolutely no way that you could make that journey without getting lost. Because at the best you can do, you're going to have wrong turns. You might even spend hours or days making unnecessary laps. In fact, some of the wrong turns that you might take because you don't have a map, because you don't have a GPS, because you don't have a road sign, you don't have a compass, might lead you into potentially dangerous scenarios. I was thinking, if we were to contemplate how to get to heaven, at the best we can do, if we don't have a map and we don't have a road sign, and we don't have the compass, we're going to wind up making wrong turn after wrong turn, potentially putting ourselves into dangerous situations. In fact, just trying to navigate life in general, if you don't have the right roadmap, if you don't have the GPS activated, if you can't see the road signs because they're hidden from you, you're going to make wrong turns. But when you think about trying to travel from New York to California, maybe some of you have even traveled out west, and some of those desert roads come to mind because our family's explored out there a little bit, and there's some of those roads that you get on, and at first it seems like a good adventure, and it seems like, man, this is going to be a great way to enjoy some scenery, and then the roads start getting worse and worse, and you go miles and miles, and there is no filling station, and you're watching your fuel tank just go down, 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 and you start to think, like, am I ever going to get to another filling station, and what happens if we run out of fuel out here in the middle of nowhere? Like, what is going to happen? If we don't find a filling station soon, like, we are going to be stuck out here lost in the middle of nowhere. And so I realize that that is also something that comes to mind when we're trying to navigate life, that not only can we be spiritually lost, but we can actually feel empty because we don't know how to get filled up with the right things. So we try a drug and it still doesn't fill us. And we try a relationship and it still doesn't fill us. And we try to get more money and it still doesn't fill us. And we try a job and a career path and it still doesn't fill us. And what ultimately starts to happen is we start to be just overwhelmed with guilt and overwhelmed with condemnation, because even though we're trying to make the right thing, and even sometimes it seems right, it just keeps ending up worse and worse and worse. And I can't help but wonder, like, maybe there are some of us even in here today that if we were honest, we feel like we are spiritually lost, because at the best we can do, we keep noticing that there are some wrong turns that are taking place, and we keep feeling like that we're empty, and we keep feeling like that maybe we're never really ever going to get to be filled. And see, that is why it is so important to have the roadmap, and the importance of the fact that the Holy Spirit can turn on the GPS inside your heart and inside your conscience, and that he can become a light unto your feet and a lamp unto your path as he begins to show you how to make the right turn instead of the wrong turn. And he fills you up with the Holy Spirit, not just to the brim, but until your cup runneth over, and you don't have to spend life running on E trying to find some false feeling for that emptiness that's on the inside of you. I bet every single one of us as kids had a moment where we got lost. You got separated from mom and dad. You got separated from a group of folks. And the result was you had this overwhelming sensation of, I am lost and I am in trouble now. For me, I was maybe 4 or 5 years old. I was with my mom and my dad in Maloney's in Russell Springs. Anybody remember Maloney's? Listen, if you've never experienced Maloney's, you have missed out on a major section of life. I remember being in there, and my mom was in the women's section, and my dad was in the sporting goods section, and my dad had been given charge over me. And so while he is there looking at a gun or something, he is the Don, it's not hard to predict what he was probably surveying, I decided to explore a little, and I wound up inside a clothes rack, and it was hanging with, like, camo and big old coveralls. And when I went inside, it got dark. And somehow I got tangled up in the clothes and I couldn't get out. And I felt like I was stuck. And as I finally get loose, I realize dad is gone, mom is gone, I'm lost. And I remember looking at the guy at the sporting goods section and I'm like, help! The overwhelming feeling of, I am lost. So they announced over the PA system, somebody come get your kid. Sporting goods section. And here comes my mom and my dad. And if you know my mama, she is wound tight. And she's letting my dad have it about how it should have never transpired and it's all his fault. And I remember, like, just being overwhelmed with thankfulness of, Mom and Dad are here. They're going to be able to take me back to the place of safety and security. But now that I got some age on me and I have become a parent, I can also now relate to the other side of this. And so I remember where we were going to take a vacation to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and you know, we were looking for the best deal that we could find, and we wanted something close to the water, and we found it. It was a hotel about 20 stories high, and we happened to be on the 15th floor, and we had booked a stay right in the middle of every college kid that had decided to have spring break in Myrtle Beach. It was interesting, us family of four making our way through all of the chaos that was transpiring on every level of that hotel. And I remember we were in the room and we got a call from back home that something had happened at the church, and it required Mandy and I to begin to engage in work. And we were trying to put this fire out back here in Kentucky. And while we're working, I don't know how it happened, but we realized the room was really quiet. And we realized that our 5-year-old and 3-year-old were not in the bed beside us. So we go to the balcony and they're not on the balcony, and we begin to search the room, tearing it apart. They're nowhere to be found. We open up the door and they're not in the hallway. As we look across the room, we discover their beach blanket is missing, their floaties are missing, their shovel and their bucket are missing. Mandy, you take the elevator, I'll take the stairs. Mandy begins to ride the elevator down. She's stopping on every floor, asking somebody, have you seen a little girl? Have you seen a little boy? I'm running down the steps. Everybody that I run into, I'm like, have you seen a little boy and a little girl? They're probably dragging a little beach blanket, and they probably look clueless, and have you seen them? I remember getting to the bottom floor, and I ran over to the indoor swimming pool, and they're not around the swimming pool. I'm literally looking in the water to see if they might be under the water. I still can't find them. I'm at the point of panic. My 5-year-old and my 3-year-old are lost. They are in danger. They are outside of safety. They have been removed from my presence. I am freaking out. They're not at the outdoor pool. And then I look up, and out towards the ocean is a little 5-year-old girl who has put down a beach blanket and set her 3-year-old brother down and give him a shovel so that he can work on his sandcastle while she explores the wild blue yonder. And when I saw them, I couldn't decide if I wanted to hug them or, you know. But the closer I got, the more overwhelmed I was with, I found them. And I remember hugging them like there was no tomorrow. They were lost, but they were found. I can get them back to a place of safety. I can get them back to a place of security. I can get them back home. I believe we need to understand two things. That in the same way you were a child and you were lost, and you had this overwhelming sensation of I'm lost, I'm separated from my parents. When the Bible says that if you're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you must take on the heart of a little child, I think at some point we probably, even as an adult, have to come to that spiritual place where we feel that same lostness of, if the Father doesn't show up in my life, I have no hope of safety and security. But at the same time, you need to understand that the Heavenly Father is in pursuit of you. And He is looking to the north, the south, the east, and the west to find you. And one of the ways that God does it is that He employs search parties. It's talked about all through Scripture. Maybe it's just in language that you've never really given much thought to. For instance, Paul said to Timothy, he said, do the work of an evangelist. Well, the work of an evangelist literally means to share the gospel with people who are lost and need to be found. To evangelize means to let somebody who is a sinner know that they can be saved, that there's good news about their eternity if they will just acknowledge that the Savior and the Lord of all creation can be a part of their life. Doing the work of an evangelist is not showing up with a briefcase and a microphone and staying for 5 nights somewhere and calling it a revival. that doing the work of evangelists is actually something that probably every single believer should have as a part of their life. For instance, when the Bible talks about that the Holy Spirit would come upon the lives of believers, it says specifically that the main reason that happens is so that you would be able to be a witness for Jesus Christ into all the earth. That even one of the reasons the Holy Spirit wants to empower you is so you can let other people know about the good news of you were lost, but you can be found. That even when you go into Mark chapter 16 and you see that the Bible says that for those of you who believe, go and preach the gospel to every single creature. It says to those that believe. That even choosing to be a preacher of the good news of the gospel is something more than standing on a stage and standing behind a pulpit. That being a preacher means sometimes you just use words as you go out into the highways and the hedges and you compel the lost to come in, that the house of the Lord may be filled. And I just feel like that maybe some of us are called to be a part of God's search party, and we don't even understand that He's commissioning us to do the work of evangelists. He's commissioning us to preach the gospel to every creature. He's commissioning us to grab a light and head into some dark places. You see, when I start to think about some of that, I just think sometimes we don't understand that we deal in the merchandise of eternity. I'm not so sure that we even know how to appreciate the fact that He has found us. Because wouldn't it make sense that found people would find people? When you realize I was lost, but He found me. I was lost. I was in darkness, I was tangled up with bad decisions, I was headed down dead-end roads that was going to end in my demise. I was lost, but He found me. When you were a kid, and they found you in your moment of lostness, remember the overwhelming joy, the overwhelming gratitude, the overwhelming sense of safety? Don't you want other people to have that same experience? Well, it might be time for you to join the search party. You see, that day when I lost the 5-year-old and I lost the 3-year-old, I was stopping people that I didn't even know. And I was like, she's about this tall, she's got curly brown hair, he's about this tall, and he's got blonde hair, and they're dragging blankets, and I think they've got a sand shovel, and they probably were headed this direction, and if she's wearing a little bathing suit, it's this color. And I'm telling them everything I possibly could tell them, like, will you please help me? Like, they're lost, and we got to find them. And I wasn't even going through the details of trying to get their resume and trying to get a survey of, like, can you interview to be a part of the search party? It's like, they're lost and we got to find them. And I think that some of us have missed the fact that God is not disqualifying you from being a part of His search party. I get it. You can't homiletically bestow upon somebody a hermeneutical exegesis, but you can tell them, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. I get it. You can talk to Him about sports, and you can talk to Him about the weather, and you can talk to Him about whatever you got on the smoker at the next family get-together, but what about Jesus? Like, I think maybe the issue is revelatory, held in a revelatory way in Mark chapter 8. Because in the book of Mark chapter number 8, verse number 22, this is what it says. It says, and Jesus came to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man to Him, and He besought Him to touch him. And He took the blind man by the hand, and He led him out of the town. He spit on his eyes, and He put His hands on him, and He said, do you see as you should? And he looked up, and the man said, I see men as trees. I see men as trees. Say that out loud with me. I see men as trees. But after this, He put His hands on him again, upon his eyes, and He made him look. And he was restored. And then he saw every man clearly. Say it with me. Every man clearly. You see, being separated from God is, it's associated with the concept of lostness. It's associated also with the concept of spiritual death. But it's also associated with blindness. And as we read in that anchor text, that we learn that one of the reasons we're blind is the God of this world tries to keep us blind. But when you begin to have an encounter with Jesus, one of the things that Jesus does as he's finding you is he takes away the blindness. And as Jesus is having this encounter with this man, what we see happen in the man's life is at first, as the blindness is going away, it's progressive. Like he looks out and he sees men like trees. But then there's a deeper touch that comes from Jesus. And now it says he sees men clearly. What's the difference between seeing a man as a tree and seeing a man as a man? A tree ain't got no soul. And I wonder if there's not something revelatory for each of us within Mark chapter 8, that at some point you got to see man clearly. And you got to realize that every man and every woman, every boy and every girl that you interact with is a soul, an eternal soul, something more than just a tree, if you will. But that every single human being is going to spend eternity in one of two geographical locations. And there are so many people that are lost and they don't even realize that they're making wrong turn after wrong turn and they're headed for a demise. But when you become a part of the search party and you get involved to the north, the south, the east, and the west, and you take the light unto your feet and the lamp unto your path. In fact, scripture goes as far as to say, according to the words of Jesus, that when you do the works of Jesus in the earth, that it actually lights up the earth in such a way that people who would have never done so start glorifying God for themselves. So how about we sign up to be a part of the search party? We deal in the merchandise of eternity. And at some point, we have to be motivated to seek the lost. I'm going to ask Jaron to come and just begin to play softly. And I want to share something with you. As I was preparing for this message and as I've been evaluating this concept of lostness over the last few weeks, I found myself surveying some of the things associated with Billy Graham's life, because one of the things I realized about Billy Graham is that he's probably the greatest leader of spiritual search parties in the history of the world. Millions of people led to the Lord. Millions of people found as a part of searches that he led. And the thing about it is he tells the story of how so many times he would meet a president or a Nobel Peace Prize winner, or he would meet a celebrity or some world-renowned artist, and they would seem to have it together, and maybe they got Grammy Awards or Emmys or Oscars or all these things that people would aspire to have on your resume or to have in your trophy case. And yet, when he would get behind closed doors with them, he said time and time again, the elite of the world would look at him and say, "Can I just talk to you privately for a minute?" And when they were in this place of perceived privacy, they would say, "Tell me, how do I find God? How do I find God? Because I didn't find him in the drug. I didn't find him in the relationship. I didn't find him on the other side of the trophy. I didn't find him on the other side of success or in the other side of whatever last business deal I did. Like, how do I find God?" And over again, Graham would let them know, it's not so much that you find God as much as you acknowledge that he has found you. It's in that moment where you're willing to acknowledge he's knocking on the door of my heart and he is trying to get in. Will I open it and let him come in? Reminds me of a story that I heard about a little boy. He made a boat. He was so proud of it. He'd taken his time with it and he had worked on it and he'd given it little special touches. He made a boat. He took it out to the harbor and he put a string on it and he would watch the boat just go over the waves and sweep through the water. And then one day a big storm came. And as the storm came, it broke the string and it took his boat away from him, and he chased it as far as he could, but it was being just swept away by the winds. He was heartbroken. He made it, and now he's lost it. Day after day, he would go and he would just walk the shore, hoping that maybe he could find it. Then one day, he's walking down the street. As he makes his way down the sidewalk, he sees in a window of a little toy store. It's his boat. And he knows it's his boat because he made it. And he knows those little things that he did to it that made it his while he was making it. He goes in the toy store, has a conversation with the owner, and he buys the boat. Walking out of the store, he holds the boat in his hand. He says, "Now you are twice mine. Because the first time I made you, and the second time I bought you." Before you were formed in your mama's womb, God knew you. He made you, shaped you, formed you. But man, life can just sweep you away. Next thing you know, we're lost. But our Creator, our Maker, He's searching. And when He finds out that even if the cost be blood, He sheds it so that He can have relationship with you, communion with you, so that you can leave the realm of lostness and know what it is to be found. Maybe that's you. Maybe you sense, man, God's knocking on the door of my heart. God's trying to light up the fact that I am separated from Him. And maybe today you just need to throw that hand up in the air and say, "God, I am ready for a fresh start. I thank you that you made me, and I thank you, God, that you're willing to pay the price for me to be restored." Maybe you're like that boat. Take me home. Take me home.
Thank you so much for joining us for Worship and Word at Three Trees Church Online. We are grateful to have you and your family with us today. I want to let you know life-giving ministry is still moving forward here at Three Trees because of people just like you. We are finding needs and meeting them. If you would like to worship the Lord with us through giving of tithes and offering today, there are three ways in which you can do that. You can mail your check to P.O. Box 399. That's in Columbia, Kentucky. You can also text the word give to the number on your screen, or you can visit us at threetrees.com/give. Your giving is making a difference, not only in people's lives, but in people's eternities. God bless you and thank you for your faithfulness. I want to encourage you, stay connected to God in this season, now more than ever.
You
Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. We want to encourage you to stay connected with us, and as always, share this content. We want you to stay submitted to Christ during this season. I want to make you a promise this morning, church. Go with God, and He will go with you. We believe that greater things are yet to come in Jesus' name.